The text is the epistle reading from Revelations 21 and 22. Black is a liturgical color historically appointed only for Good Friday. Since 1982, it's an alternative to purple on Ash Wednesday. Other than black is not an acceptable liturgical color, even for funerals. But that's what's with the All Saints banner from 1963 on your bulletin. The left side of that banner is all black. Is this to symbolize the blackness of despair that follows death? Not hardly. The black is part of the comfort of All Saints. The black is there to shed some light on death. The black on the left side of the shield stands for the darkness that those who've died in Christ have passed out of. It doesn't stand for our mourning or their suffering. It stands for the world we're now in. Look around you. This is the darkness. Listen to the hymns we sing. We call this the darkness drear. We call this the great affliction. We call this brief sorrow, short-lived care. Our hymns say this so often because our world says the opposite, that this life is the light. The goal is to stay in this life as long as possible and live this life as fully and happily as you can. The greatest tragedy is the loss of this life. The second greatest tragedy is an unhappy life here. In the world's view, the colors on the shield should be reversed. Instead of the black on the left indicating this present darkness, and the silver on the right indicating the light and life Christians pass into, the world would have silver be this life and black be the death we pass into. But this goes with neither the hymns we sing nor the Bible we read. Here are a few verses. 1 Chronicles 29:15. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. Job 14:1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Isaiah 46, all flesh is grass, and all their beauty like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade. This is not the light. This is the darkness, because we are confronted with death no matter where we turn. Death stalks us no matter our age, our health, our wealth. Death is there through crime, disease, age, or accident. Because death dogs our steps, this life is the darkness, but there's more. In this present darkness, we're surrounded by sin. Sinful people plague us as our own sins do. Everywhere we turn, we're confronted with the wickedness of fallen humanity and with our being far from what we should be. And through death and sin, our constant companions, we still feel all alone in the darkness. God doesn't walk with us in the cool of the evening. God doesn't invite us up to Mount Sinai to party in his presence. God doesn't speak to us in a still small voice. In this present darkness, we can't see anyone else with us. The left side of the shield is the darkness now. Those who've died in Christ have passed out of darkness into the silver light of heaven. This is why Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It does not say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the life of his saints. No, it's their death that is precious to God. The death which may have been so painful, so bitter, so dark to us is precious to our Lord. Why? Our Lord values the death of his saints because by it they are passing out of darkness and into his glorious light. When you heard our text, didn't light strike you too? The place where those who've died in Christ are shines with God's glory, unimaginable in this present darkness. Their city, quote, does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light and the lamp, and the Lamb is the lamp. There's no night there, so they don't need the light of a lamp or that of the sun. And you know how death stalked your friends, your loved ones, in this darkness? Well, in the light of the next world, there's no more death. The water of life and the tree of life, which if a person eats or drinks from, they live forever, are there in abundance. It's not just a fountain or a spring of life, it's an entire river of life. And the tree of life doesn't just produce fruit once a year, it produces life every single month. There's more. You know how sin troubled those who died in Christ while they were in this present darkness? You know how the sinfulness of others made their life painful? You know what a mess their own sinfulness made for them at times? Well, that was in this darkness. It's not that way in heaven's life. The gates of heaven never close because there's no crime, there's no criminals, there's nothing to need protection from. There is nothing impure, shameful, or deceitful in heaven. All is holy. Why? Because only people who are holy on earth are let in? No. Because the only people in heaven are those washed in the holy blood of Christ and dressed in his holy good works. And those in heaven's light are never alone. They're in a city full of fellow forgiven sinners. And they are in constant contact with God. They see his face and his name is on their foreheads. There is no temple in heaven because, as John says, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. God walks with them, not in the cool of the evening as he did with Adam, because there is no evening. No, the Lord walks with them always. God doesn't invite them up to dinner on Mount Sinai. The throne of God is right there with them in the city, and they eat and drink in his presence all the time. And God's voice isn't still or small to them. It's always loud, always clear, and always comforting. Those in heaven, they are in the light. We are in the darkness. Your loved ones, your not so loved ones. All those who've died in Christ are in the light that knows no dimming, let alone darkness. You and I are not. And this is where our sadness comes from over death. It doesn't come from where our dead in Christ are, but from where we are. It doesn't come from our loved ones being in bright light, but from us being in thick darkness. While we get a measure of comfort from knowing the saints are in light, still the darkness consumes us sometimes. That's why we celebrate All Saints Day. It's not to shed light on the saints in heaven, they have plenty already, but to shed light on us still in the present darkness. For this, our Lord gives us his word, which he says is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we've been called out of darkness into his glorious light. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 assures us, you, brothers, are not in darkness. Only by the Lord's light can we see in this darkness. The light of the Lord puts a spotlight on that baptismal font back there. It reminds you that you've been born again to a living hope. Your baptism is a washing of regeneration, a rebirth by the Holy Spirit. God's light tells you that in your baptism you died and you were buried with Christ, and with him you've already risen. Death may be stalking you, but it cannot swallow you. When death tries to swallow you, your baptism won't let it. Death will have to spit you out into life everlasting, even as it did Christ. Look at the shield. See the crown of gold? It stands for everlasting life. The crown is on both sides of the shield. The crown of everlasting life is yours today. But what about my sins? I see them in every move I make, in every breath I take, in every promise I break. There's a word piercing this present darkness for you too, sinner. It's a word of pardon. It's not just saints in heaven that are holy. It's the saints on earth too, because we're holy the same way they are, by Christ. God had put away their sins and ours because Jesus kept the law condemning us and the penalty owed for our breaking them. The forgiveness I give in absolution is not inferior to what the saints have in heaven. Absolution sends your sins away so that God can't see them any more than he can see the sins of those in heaven. All the sins of all saints in heaven and on earth are hidden by Jesus' blood. The three sanctus or holies are on both sides of the shield, and in color they are red. The only way any sinner is holy is in Jesus' blood. There is light from God for us still in this darkness. His word of life and baptism, his word of forgiveness and absolution, and his word made flesh and blood in communion. Here's the answer to the lowliness we sinners know in the darkness. Over 4,000 years ago, the Lord invited Moses up to Mount Sinai to eat and drink in his presence. He still invites people today, not just to eat and drink in his presence, but to eat and drink his presence, his body and blood. Our God doesn't leave us alone in this darkness to grope for and hopefully touch him now and then. No, he promises to meet us right here at this altar in the elements of bread and wine. He says, "Here I am in the flesh and with my blood to forgive you, to strengthen you, to assure you you're not alone here." The triple holy on both sides of the shield not only refers to being forgiven, but to the Holy Trinity, who is not only present in heaven's life, but with us in earth's darkness through Holy Communion. But there's more. Where God is, there all of heaven is. So when God the Son comes down in the Holy Communion, the angels, the archangels, and all the saints in heaven come down with him. In this darkness, we are joined by all those who dwell in light. For a time, the saints in heaven join us with the saints on earth to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Have you guessed by now whose death I'm really shedding light on? Not that of the saints who've died, but of us who haven't. I've tried to give you Luther's viewpoint. In his day, the popular saying was, in life, we are surrounded by death. Luther turned it around saying, in death, we are surrounded by life. All around those in Christ is the life of the world to come. The saints in darkness now, they don't pass away. The saints in darkness now, you and I, we don't pass away. We pass into that day which knows no darkness. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.